I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick, live from Sarah, John, and Willow's house in Newfoundland. Woo! First of all, I want to say thank you all for showing up to Sarah and John's house. This is a more importantly than that, thank you guys for allowing us into your beautiful and very quaint and cute and
accessible,
stylish little home. You know, this is this means a lot to us. It means a lot to me. I was born here in St. John's, and we knew we were coming here to do a separate event.
How many times do you think you've said that since we've been here?
I really try to make it known. And so, you know, we were like, well, maybe we could do a show, but we were having a hard time finding a venue. And lo and behold, the opportunity came up to do it in someone's home. And I thought, fuck, that is the most Newfoundland thing to just
very much so
pitch up in someone's living room and throw down a live show. So thank you all so much for showing up tonight. Let's get right to it.
Well, there was something that we wanted to bring up with you actually before with Jeremy.
Okay, sure.
We started here. Brian, can you?
This is usually what we do actually. Like if we ever have like an intimate conversation that we want to have with the three of us with each other, we usually wait to do it in front of an audience full of people. So
we actually
is this a fucking intervention or something?
It sounds like you're joking, but you're actually very. We'll be like, oh, we should talk to Jer about that, and then we're like. But actually, we're going to be recording a live episode soon, so we should just save that conversation to have it in front of people.
All right.
So, Bri, pull up that message that we got earlier today, and this is actually going to tie into our conversation with our guest.
Do you want me to just read it?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, read it.
Okay. I have to find from it who it's from.
Is it an email?
Now, all right. Maybe I should preface it. Should I preface it, or should we wait till after?
Sure, you can preface
it. Okay, so Jer, so... When we started traveling for the podcast and sleeping in hotels together a lot and in rooms and sharing very tiny beds.
Somehow we drew the short end of the stick.
Well, that's because, the reason why it happened was because Brian initially is the most terrible snorer on planet Earth.
Right.
So I thought, well, we should bunk up together because then we'll be able to actually sleep.
Right.
And I quickly realized that you are possibly worse than Brian. And in an actual very scary way.
I just want to say that wasn't why you told me that you didn't want to sleep with me. It was because
we've been sleeping together since we were like 11 years old.
I know,
so
but
like, I was like, I'm ready for a break from fucking Brian.
But another thing that you said is that, you know, I have the ability to sleep anywhere.
You very much do. Yeah.
And so like I could literally fall asleep during this podcast. Like if you don't hear my voice and you're listening to this and I don't talk for like 5 minutes, it's possible that I fell asleep.
Yeah. So if for some reason we go to a hotel and there's like one bed and a pull-out couch or no pull-out couch, it's automatically understood that Jeremy and I will sleep in the bed and you will sleep on the floor in some makeshift fucking thing. So
you know what? I retract. Long end of the stick. Amen.
Right? Yeah. Am I right? So Jeremy and I always share a bed. And this is a very particular time. It was actually, I remember it fondly. I'd flown in very late into Toronto and you guys were already at the hotel. We were going to interview Chris Hadfield the next morning.
All right. Three of us were sharing a
king size bed.
This is so fucking cute.
We were all sleeping in the same bed. I was in the, you know, I got there. They were already asleep. I slept in the middle. They're both snoring so heavily. When Jeremy snores, this is what he does. I don't know if you guys know this, but Jeremy has CF. That's a joke. Everybody knows Jeremy has CF.
Did I tell you guys I was born in St. John's, Newfoundland?
And he goes like this. When he sleeps, well, first of all, he's got this weird thing where he keeps his arm up in the air like this. So he's sleeping like this.
Jesus.
And he goes, And I wake up, or I am still awake, and Jeremy starts going like this.
That's actually a perfect impression.
And I'm looking at Jeremy like, holy fuck. Holy fuck. Jeremy's lung function has plummeted to 0%. He's fucked. Now,
so I have seen video of this. My wife has taken video of this, and
that was accurate.
Yeah, that was pretty accurate.
Now, we're all very concerned. I'm still very concerned about Jeremy snoring and his sleeping. And now let's read this message here.
So we've been talking about Jeremy probably having sleep apnea. So we got this message. Jeremy is the one with possible sleep apnea, right? I urge him to seriously go get checked. My grandpa has always snored so loud you can hear him across the house. Because he had sleep apnea for so many years untreated, it caused him to have a stroke, a bad one.
Oh, fuck.
He survived and has started to get his motion back, but now his cognitive abilities are lessened. He thinks he's in the Navy and thinks the nurses are having parties that night.
That doesn't sound so bad, but...
Now...
Okay.
Now...
And they probably are.
Now... This is a little bit different than how we usually introduce our guests. Now,
super different. I'm like, where is this going?
Let's introduce our guests now and ask how fully would you recommend that he go see somebody about his sleep apnea to prevent a possible stroke?
I guess what we probably should say is let's give a round of applause for Chair Jane, who's here to talk about who, oddly enough, thanks to your story, is here to talk about having a stroke and being in a coma for 8 weeks.
Before we go into that, though, Jared, does that make you feel like you at least want to get checked out a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. But also, I feel like I sleep like a king. So,
like,
you know,
Sarah Jane, how much would you recommend him not having a stroke?
100%. I would never ask anybody to ever want to do such a thing.
To ever go through that ever.
No.
And I figured that was probably the case.
Yeah, but my parents both have sleep apnea and they have those.
The CPAP machine.
It works.
I know it works because we had someone on the podcast who was like, I have a CPAP machine. It's great. And then he was like, here, just let me show you what it looks like. And he puts it on and I go, fuck that thing. But I get it. I totally get it.
Dude, you got sleep apnea.
I do have sleep apnea. Probably I'll get it checked. We can talk about it later. But I want to talk about your situation because you didn't have... Well, actually, I don't know, but I'm assuming you didn't have a stroke due to sleep apnea.
No.
You had a stroke due to something completely different, but you had a very specific type of stroke. How do you pronounce it?
I had an ischemic stroke.
Ischemic.
An ischemic stroke with an I.
Okay. Ischemic stroke.
Ischemic stroke.
Ischemic.
Ischemic.
Okay. How many times can we say it?
Say it one more time. Ischemic. Yeah. All right, here we go. One, two, three.
Ischemic stroke.
We were just going for ischemic.
I mean, no, you know. Sexual. I'm so sorry.
What is an ischemic stroke?
So there's two main types. There's a hemorrhagic stroke and an ischemic stroke. I had an ischemic stroke. So an ischemic stroke is when you have a blood clot that just kind of sits there in the brain and just doesn't want to move. And then a hemorrhagic is when it pops. Mine didn't pop.
So the actual like blood vessel pops or the hot blood highway pops and you have like a hemorrhage.
That's a hemorrhagic stroke.
Right. Yeah, right.
But mine just kind of to sit up there and stay where it was until it was taken out.
Okay. So yours was essentially like a plug.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
How long ago did you have the ischemic stroke?
I am 23 and this happened when it's about 2.5 years ago. So I was 20 when this happened.
Okay.
And like most people think about people who've had strokes as like,
you're an old person.
Old.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Me and three other people while I was at the rehab here in St. John's, three of them were under the age of 25. So.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
Yeah. So it does happen.
So out of how many though?
I don't know. I've been trying to like track it, but they won't really let me.
Sure, right.
Yeah. Okay, so I literally know nothing about ischemic strokes.
Yes.
I'm curious, was there anything
I love that you said yes, like, yes, I know. Literally
I literally know nothing about nothing, so
I never said that.
I know.
I'm curious, did you have any health problems or anything that would have indicated that you might be susceptible to having an ischemic stroke beforehand?
Well, yes and no. So... I
love gray area answers.
My whole last 2.5 years was a gray area, and it's I'm still working on it, but it's good. So I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. You guys have had it on the show before. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's Crohn's and colitis, but it's ulcerative colitis. So yeah. I have a chronic disease where my stomach hates me, and it causes me a lot of discomfort, and yeah, so I had that for a while, and then
is that linked to the stroke?
Well, see, they won't tell me, and I don't think they really know, but I was on a lot of prednisone, so that's a steroid,
right,
for an extensive period of time.
What's like how, like what's extensive?
Like way more than you're supposed to.
Because you're supposed to, like, prednisone's like a 6 week, like, don't.
Oh, you think it would be 6 weeks, but not for me.
Like how long?
It was too much. So they start at 8. They'll go up to 10, I think is their total here that they go up to. So I went from 8 down to 7, up to 9, down to 8, 7, 6, up to 10. So then kept going down. So it took me like, it just wasn't working.
Did you have that weird thing with the prednisone where you got like really...
blew up like a balloon?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. I mean, yes. I know that happens. But did you have the weird... did someone's car just go off? That was the most interesting sound.
It was.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you get like the weird, very specific... food cravings?
Yes.
Where you're like, I want waffles topped with spaghetti and cereal all over it. And then...
Hey, yeah, that's a thing. My thing was Cheetos.
Yeah, right, okay.
Cheetos mixed in like a bowl of cereal with Cheetos on top.
Cheetos.
Oh, okay.
milk. But, yeah, I was also like a horrible person during that time. My sister and my boyfriend are here, and they... both know that I was an asshole for, like, it really impacts you. Like, I, right now, having a flare-up of my ulcerative colitis right now, and I'm not taking prednisone. I'm against it. I can't do it to myself.
I kind of want to dig into that a little bit. When you say that you were an asshole when you're on that, is it that the drug does something to you, like a chemical reaction in some way, or is it that... you're dealing with something that's challenging, so emotionally you're a little bit more on edge?
It's definitely possible. I'm not sure. They say that you're...
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Does prednisone turn you into an asshole?
I think I just felt horrible, so I was... yeah. Putting that off to other people.
Right. It's and the reason why I ask is because we were talking about this the other day. You know, Jared made the comment that, you know, we try to cover an episode on mental illness once a month or so at least.
Yeah.
But the reality is that when people are dealing with physical illness, it still affects their mental health.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, big time.
So the reason why I ask the question is because I'm just interested asking about like how dealing with living with ulcerative colitis as somebody at 20 years old at the time.
I was 18 at that time.
18 and like trying to manage that, obviously taking this steroid, this new drug, was that difficult for you to deal with mentally?
Well, I had never taken medication all the time, right? So it was something new to me. Also, I just started university when I was diagnosed. But before I had my stroke, I was on another flare-up of my colitis. So I was on an extent, like the highest amount of prednisone.
What is a flare-up of colitis look like?
Do you really want to know?
We really do.
Let's put it this way.
We love doo-doo.
Today
on the show.
Today, I've had probably six shits.
Really? And, six?
Yeah, I'm at six, and all of them
Is that an
were,
off day, or is that a normal
that's
day?
That's kind of a... I mean, it's a toss-up daily. And all of them were not solid. we'll put it that way.
Well,
what is it on the scale? On the scale of 1 to 7.
On the scale, it's like a 9.
Which 1 to 7 is the doo-doo scale, if you don't know.
It's off the charts.
Yeah. 1 being very hard, 7 being extremely, like water.
I literally sat down when I went to Kitty Bitty today to shit at the toilet, and a guy walked in and he was peeing at the urinal right next to the toilet. And as I was shitting, I could hear the guy next to me.
He just goes, "He sits to pee."
That's what he said. He goes,
"No, he didn't.
You sit in a pee?"
And why, dude?
And I went, "No."
That's my doo-doo.
I'm pooping.
Big shout out to Mallard. Is it Mallard Kitchen?
Mallard Cottage.
Mallard Cottage. Food, great. Atmosphere, great. Toilet paper?
On point.
Best in St. John's. Honestly, yeah, didn't want to leave.
Literally so clouds good. In your hand.
It was very, very nice. Big shout out to the toilet paper.
Taylor actually came back from the bathroom and he was like, "You guys have to go." And I was like, I can probably do it.
I said, "Guys, food's great. You need to take a shit here."
That is true. That is true. So, tell us about your shit.
Well, I just don't always make it to the washroom.
Amen, sister.
Jeremy's well acquainted. I mean, not that I haven't done it before. I most certainly have, but yeah.
So many
blessings for me.
Mine is not like, I just...
Well, whatever. We don't have to compare. Okay, no, don't throw me under the bus.
I just swim, though. Mine's all blood, so...
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah. You win. Because of the inflammation?
Yeah, you're the winner.
Yeah,
from blood wins. Blood wins every time.
Yes. So.
So, and that's because ulcerative colitis, like you've got inflammation in your colon, and that basically thins the walls of your colon, which makes it susceptible to being torn.
What are you, a fucking doctor?
Guys, that's why I've been asking for the honorary PhD or honorary doctorate from all these universities.
That's right, man.
Fucking give it to me, man. I know my shit.
I think we're getting closer, honestly.
I think we are.
One house show at a time.
One house show at a time. So that's why all the blood's in your poo-poo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you lost a little bit there by calling it poo-poo.
Sorry.
Stool.
Doo-doo.
Stool. Yeah.
Doo-doo is the medical term. So is that scary for you, or is it something that now you're like, well, that's just how it is? So like,
I'm just like, oh shit, again, like really?
Is it all the time, or is
no,
it?
No, it's I'm still in a flare up.
So you're in a flare up, and when you're not, it just goes away and it doesn't happen.
Yeah, the prednisone fixes it, but I forgot to tell everybody that I have aphasia. So I
aphasia?
So that's because I haven't explained to you how my stroke went.
I know.
Because we've been talking about
shit. Oh, yeah, right.
For
you had
a
stroke.
We get so fixated on poo-poo.
But we're getting there in the sense that, so we talked about, because the question
Wait,
hold
that on, I, hold on. Let her fucking, she just said something.
No. We got to go in chronological order.
She said aphasia. What is aphasia? Aphasia, is it this?
No.
No.
No, no, no.
I thought aphasia was like you can't swallow.
No, that's dysphagia.
Oh.
Is this the opposite of that? You swallow too much?
No. Dysphagia. Do you want me to explain to you that?
Please. I'm an idiot. Like, I need all this.
I had that too. So my ulcerative colitis caused me to, they think, because I was on a bunch of pills and my genetics. My mom had a blood clot in her brain when my sister was born.
Oh, shit. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So I almost lost my mom when my sister was born. Thanks, Maria.
Oh, wow.
Total burn.
Oh, that was
Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
And now let's bring out their mom and see how she feels.
Well, I'm just joking. It's probably not Maria's fault. But anyways, genetically, so I was just having a really bad headache for a while.
Wait, so what's aphasia?
Oh, well, aphasia is the inability to communicate effectively, and I also was not able to read, write, or speak at all.
Well, you've come a long way.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean,
I literally don't shut up. So
wait, yeah. That's so wild. That is a really big term, like a really big umbrella term.
I thought you were saying it's a really big term, as in like the person can't communicate and you're calling it aphasia. So how are they ever supposed to tell you what they have?
How do you say it?
Right, yeah. I think I kind of follow you there, Brian. I'm a little bit disconnected, but like it's.
I was with you. I got it. That was a good one.
Taylor, maybe you have aphasia.
Maybe I have aphasia.
Who knows?
I don't know.
That's what my mom says too sometimes.
So what? Like it's you said. Sorry, you said it. You used to be not be able to read, write,
communicate.
Like speaking to people, like at what age, like or up to what age?
After the
you
stroke,
you clearly can now.
After
right?
the stroke,
after the stroke.
Oh fuck! Okay.
The reason why I wanted to, I was going to tie everything neatly into a package there and walk us right into the story about the stroke, but the reason why I asked initially about any complications before you had your stroke is because I was trying to figure out like, is there anything that would have caused this? So. We now know that you had ulcerative colitis, and that was something before, but it's kind of a gray area because you don't know if that's a direct cause of the stroke, but the stroke happened,
exactly.
Right? So let's talk about the stroke then. Like, when did that happen and what did that look like?
Okay, so I was having a bad headache for a while. It was my first year at Acadia University. So
hey, what up? My first year was at Acadia too.
And Jer also had a bad headache the entire time he was there.
Not because of a stroke.
Also a bit of a vision, memory loss.
He couldn't talk.
He also had bad nausea and all sorts of other shit.
Well, I went to Mon for 2 years and then I went to Acadia because I want to become a registered dietitian. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I was at Acadia for the first year and this happened in March, so I was not feeling well in January. Like, I had a headache, but I'm a girl. I get periods, so I thought it was
just...
Come on now, bye. Boys just don't like to talk about it. That's
I literally rolled my
we
eyes
love
so
to
hard
talk about it, just saying.
So I thought it was just like a... it was stressful. It was my first time being away from home. Mm-hmm. And... I had a really bad headache and I just decided to go. I walked down to Main Street in Wolfville, went to the doctor and just said, like, I have a really bad headache. Like, they told me I had a migraine, went and got my pills. You're supposed to take one. If it gets any better, you take another one. If it doesn't get any better, you go to the hospital. So then I did all of that, went back down. And they told me to try to get to the hospital. I was like, okay, like, I don't have a car, but okay. So I went up and I took a taxi up the hill at Acadia because
just one giant hill.
It's very hilly.
You think that's Newfoundland is like this? The Acadia University is
Wolfville literally is like
this.
It's like, welcome to Wolfville and
one
here's flat Acadia.
Yeah.
And Acadia is just on this one fucking hill.
It's literally Main Street, which is flat, and then everything else goes like this.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
guys, it's in a place called the Valley, and usually valleys have slopes on either side.
All right, Brian. Okay.
Bring it to our
have
school.
You been to Signal Hill yet?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, have you walked up Signal Hill?
Brian ran up it this morning.
Okay, well, never mind then. You just went.
If you would have asked that question to Taylor or Jeremy, it would have been okay, but yeah.
You trying to say it on
also, do you know where the CrossFit gym is? Brian's been asking.
I actually found out where it is already.
Brian used Google. Sorry, go ahead.
Continue, please.
Go to the doctor.
So tell us about the stroke again that you're
headache,
having.
Headache.
Go to the doctor.
Tell me to go to the hospital. It's like, okay, I got a taxi down from Acadia, my residence, to Main Street. That's not that far, but too bad. Like, my headache was really bad. Mm-hmm. I called a taxi again, went right back up. And my roommate came in when I went back up to my residence. When I tried to speak, she realized I wasn't speaking properly.
Like, so, were you trying to get the words out?
Yeah, and it was like dog, ice, like it was...
You were just saying random things.
Random stuff to try to explain how much pain I was in, I guess.
What, dogs and cats.
Okay,
right.
So
yes,
I'm familiar with hearing about, you know, they say when people are having a stroke, sometimes they stop making sense. Like, sometimes I open my mouth to talk, and Taylor and Jeremy are like, Brian, are you having a stroke? Because what you said doesn't make sense. Like, that's like an ongoing joke.
That's a common joke. That's also a part of aphasia.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's just I'm less intelligent. So that's what happens. But I'm curious to know, because we've never talked to somebody who's like in the midst of like going through that. So when you're speaking and it's not making sense to the person that you're talking to, is what you're saying in your head making sense, or can you even like comprehend what's going on?
See, that's the aphasia part. So can I explain that after?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I have my roommate Lorena. She called 911. And I went to the hospital. I remember all the way to, Wolfville to Kentville Hospital. You know, kind of where that's. It's about an hour, about 15 minutes to Kentville. Mm-hmm. When I was there, they did a CT scan. They told me I had a blood clot in my brain.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. My mom was on the phone with me. And you know that really
And you were like, cats, dogs, dogs, cats. And the doctor's like, I got this. She's got a blood clot in her brain. There's no cats and dogs here. But we got this. We got this.
Jared, so. I'm really impressed at how you made a blood clot in somebody's brain and them telling their mom about it funny. I don't know how that just happened.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sick point in a nutshell.
Thinking back, this is all really funny, but at that time it was not very funny.
Right, in the moment, it never is.
But I had so... told me I had a blood clot. I was thinking in my brain, there we are, my aphasia is coming up, but I was thinking in my head, I was like, whatever, like, you guys are full of it. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I just don't remember anything after that.
Right. Whoa. So what's the next thing you remember?
The next time I remember was my 21st birthday.
Whoa. How much longer?
This happened on March 15th of 2017. And I woke up before this, but the day I remember is April 23rd,
Whoa.
2017.
That is
Which
a
is
long,
my 21st birthday.
Long now.
Whoa. That's crazy. Yeah. Oh, you woke up. The first day you remember is your birthday.
Well, yeah, because they had my mom, everybody, they had balloons for me.
And how
they weren't supposed to in the hospital in the ICU, but they made it work. So.
Yeah, fuck that.
Okay, wait, whoa. What?
Sterilization, probably,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah.
Really?
Is that what it is?
Sterilization? Latex.
Yeah. Do you remember when
Whatever, dude.
Do you remember when you had that? I mean, you don't probably remember, but we remember.
I don't remember much, but I do remember you two fucking jokers walking in there with like hazmat suits on, being like, oh, Jerry's gonna love this. And I'm like, I'm in so much pain. Why are you yelling at me?
Jared just had surgery, and we went in with like into the ICU, and we like, you know, we they were like, hey, you know, you can put on this stuff. And we were like, give us everything.
Well, no, you can not you can put on this stuff. I was in fucking
But they were like, well, we recommend you put on like
the yellow thing
and like some gloves
for infection.
And we were
control.
Like, well, like, what else do you have? And they were like, well, we've got hats and masks and all this stuff.
We had like the welding shields.
Yeah. And we went in and we were like, hey, Jeremy.
They thought I had just come out of surgery and I was going to be like, oh, guys, amazing. And I'm laying there going, I'm in hell. Kill me. Somebody kill me.
Oh, my God. It was really bad.
Dude, actually, that...
I was really sad.
Funnily enough, that was the first time in the entire time that I've known you where I was like, holy shit, your CF is
your CF is real.
Holy shit, dude. He hasn't been lying.
It wasn't a joke.
But I mean that. And I mean that in the sense that like it became real to me because like...
No, I get it. I get it.
You know, because it's always been this thing where you've just done your treatment and like, you know, even in the last couple of days, you haven't been feeling 100%.
No.
And like... seeing you go through like feeling like bouts of like feeling shitty is always a wake up call for me because it's something that like I don't think about all the time. Like when we're just hanging out, I'm like, oh, Jeremy has CF, but like
whatever.
He doesn't seem any different to Taylor.
There's a reason I passed top of my class at Ryerson Theater School for acting. So coming back to waking up, this is something that I'm actually fascinated by because you're the first person that I think I've ever spoken to who's been in and has come out of a coma. Mm. I don't think I've spoken to many people who have been in and have never come out of a coma, mostly because they don't talk.
Yeah.
So, what is, okay, I'm going to ask the first question, which I know is a stupid question, but
no,
I'm dying to know.
Questions are stupid.
Thank you. Do you dream in a coma?
You do.
Whoa.
Have you seen the Odyssey or something like that? There was this old show where it was basically somebody who was in a coma for a really long time.
Yeah, but that's a fucking TV show.
I remember.
Have you seen Wizard of Oz?
Do you know that I Touché. Don't remember my own dreams now, but I remember my dreams that happened to me.
Your coma dreams?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about, I mean, I know it's so boring to hear someone talk about their dreams.
No, mine's actually
funny. But just tell me about
funny.
Your, what is that life?
So I was in the hospital. I knew I was in a hospital, I guess. Now this makes me sound like I'm an idiot, like legit an idiot.
But, could not sound as more of an idiot than the three of us combined.
But I woke up and I thought I was, this sounds ridiculous, and my sister and my boyfriend are probably going to be like, Sarah Jane, don't tell people this. But I thought I was in a horse hospital. So like, they were
sure were thinking that.
So like, I thought that like when they were taking like the X-rays or whatever, like I was like in the way of a horse.
And, oh
like,
my God.
Yeah, it was.
So you thought you were a horse?
No.
Mm-hmm. You were just a lady in a horse hospital.
Yes.
This is so fucking brilliant.
That's a John Mulaney bit.
Is it? No, it's not. It's a horse that escaped in a hospital, but whatever.
Sorry, I just got back.
But yeah, so I remember that. And my pop, he's not dead. He's 95 years old, but he's not dead. But
for people who aren't from Newfoundland who are listening, pop is synonymous with grandfather.
Yeah.
Because I know there's other people in Canada that are like, your dad was 95?
My pop.
Holy shit, what a stallion.
Speaking of horses.
Yeah, 70.
No, yeah. But pop, or poppy, as you would say.
That's what I call my grandfather, too.
But pop.
He was in all of my dreams, but he's not dead. He's 95 years old. He just can't really walk that well.
Can he astro travel? Do you know? Have you guys talked about ESP or anything like that? It's not really a big Newfoundlander thing.
Too much other stuff going on. To be honest, I don't really.
I hope this isn't insensitive, but is nothing really insensitive
if you don't understand.
Is he of sound mind?
That's a great way to look at
it. He actually is, but he had a stroke.
The reason why I ask is because. The reason why I ask is because we had this chaplain on the podcast, David McGinley.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the afterlife and how people who are dying go through this experience of like meeting people who have passed. And he was saying
like
that
a very common experience for people.
Yeah. And he was also talking about when I was talking to him about this, he was also talking about how sometimes people who have Alzheimer's also have like a similar experience. Like they might be greeting people to the afterlife, even though they're still here in a physical sense. Mentally, they may have moved on already.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that
it was
fucking crazy.
So that's why I ask.
He's good. I mean, he can't see, he can't hear.
But he could, now wait, could he see and hear in your dreams?
He had like
horse goggles on.
He was a jockey.
Yeah, I guess.
I love this. Okay, so you were having these crazy horse hospital dreams.
But like during this whole time I was in brain, I had brain surgery.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
did you smell burnt toast?
You never smell. No.
Well, that also, that's she before. Was like fully awake.
So they were like, did nobody get that?
I do.
Okay.
Everyone
God.
Got it and they went, yeah. Those commercials.
Moment?
Those
Come
commercials.
On.
Yeah, they're over.
They're the best.
They are the greatest.
Yeah, so this is actually, I might think this is really cool, but some people might think it's kind of lame. But so they shaved my head and they took.
Radical.
You think for maybe a guy, but not when you have a full head of hair. But anyway,
you're fucking napping for 8 weeks. It's not like you need it.
Very true.
It's a touchy subject.
I'm gonna fucking punch you.
It's a touchy subject. I will never cut my hair again. Anyways, yeah, so half of, so they, there's a skull in there.
Yes.
You knew it or not that
yes.
you do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yes, there is.
There's a skull in there. So they removed the left side of my bone flap and then to relieve the pressure on my brain.
Whoa.
Whoa, I know. Do you know what's even cooler?
Yeah, I don't know.
They left, they put the bone flap in the freezer for 8 weeks.
Whoa.
I know.
So they left your bone. Wait, they removed cap? And then we're like,
we'll just place this in here, shut that door,
so like
and
they
put it back when we need
your
it.
Bone out. And they were like, off. And then we're like, let's put this in the fridge. This is gonna be, we're gonna
not
use
the
this
fridge,
later.
The freezer.
The freezer. Yeah, yeah,
we're gonna
yeah,
freeze
yeah.
this, and then we're gonna use it later.
Yes.
So they're
to put
literally
back
like
on, to back, put back onto your head.
And
so
they did.
To later. Also verify this for a third time, they literally. Took a piece of your skull because your brain is like basically swelling or something. So your brain is swelling. They put it in the freezer and then for 8 weeks somebody opened the door and looked at it and was like, oh, there's Sarah's brain. We're just gonna
it was in the fucking lunchroom.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm gotta get my McCain's super fries.
Next, next to the PB&J that said Susan on it.
Yeah. Next to one of those
that
ice
somebody
cream
named
containers.
Bill took and ate.
Next to one of the ice cream containers that just never has ice cream in it. It just has leftovers.
Leftover fucking pasta sauce that you open up and you go, whoa.
Why?
Come on, Mom and Dad.
It's annoying.
So rein it back in there. So when, how do they know when to put it back on? Like, are they going, oh, she's coming awake.
No,
like, quick, staple it in there.
Nope, I had another, not a surgery, but basically a surgery. It's like a... What's it called?
Procedure.
Thank you.
Somebody else said it. I can't take credit for that.
You.
I heard
sorry.
It.
The audience.
That's the aphasia. I'll tell you about that after. Yeah, but I had a procedure to, they didn't know if it was going to work. This was in the Halifax Infirmary because I got sick there. And they put a, it's called a thrombectomy.
Thrombectomy.
My sister and my boyfriend.
Thrombectomy?
No, my boyfriend's not there anymore. That sucks.
he lost one.
He went home. He was like,
I didn't know what.
So fucking tired of this story.
I told her not to tell the fucking horse
fine.
Dream.
You're fine.
Now she's telling the horse dream I'm fucking out of here.
But anyways, it's called a thrombectomy, and it they went in through my groin up over.
Oh, God.
Into
no.
my heart.
No.
Up through my throat, into my brain, and.
Wait, hold on. Sorry,
dude. We've heard this before. It's the craziest and gnarliest thing.
Yes, no, I know
thing.
We heard this before, but usually it's like they went through my groin into my heart. We're gonna go through the groin, then into the heart, but then out of the heart and further. They went in through. Why the fuck would they go through the heart and out the heart?
Because
and it's higher.
Because it's because it's a certain vein.
Oh, and that's the highway, and it goes
well,
that way.
Well, the thing was, is they usually do it for a, not a vein, what's the other thing called? Artery. Thank you, artery.
I love that there's like, also the front row is just a bunch of
I'm
fucking doctors. Like artery procedure, horse hospital.
Equine clinic.
Equine.
Taylor's like doo doo, and they're like, "That's right."
Technical terms, we love them. This is fucking
Jesus
hilarious.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so you get the
usually an artery is what
right,
they use,
right.
But they didn't have one to use for me, and it was in a vein. My blood clot was in a vein, so they had to go up through a vein.
Okay,
and isn't that so crazy that they go, "We got to get to your brain, so we're gonna go through your groin to get there," like. Like, there's gotta be a way. There's gotta be a better way.
Yeah. We need these baskets back.
Another heritage moment.
come on.
But it is crazy. Like, that is a wild route.
Yeah, but they didn't know if it was gonna work. So it was either.
Yeah.
They said goodbye. Like, they said their goodbyes, my family.
Oh my God.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, So
was your boyfriend there at this time? Were you guys seeing each other at that point?
We've been together for 6 years.
Yeah. Whoa! So through it all,
my sister.
I don't mean to put you on the spot,
but
what was that process like for you to you know, because obviously Sarah Jane's not awake. And so they tell you gone. Like we're doing this thing and you might have to say goodbye. Like, yeah. was it hard to say goodbye to someone who you're like? I'm assuming
was it hard?
You're feeling like I don't know if she can hear me or if she can hear me. Like what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was weird. It was like it's kind of like, well, you don't know what they're feeling or what they're going through, so. Kind of like that, but at the same time, you just don't know exactly what's going to happen. So you don't know what to say. You don't know how they felt about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, you were with. I mean, you guys were together for a while, so you'd hope. Like, wait, hold on. Were you there, being like, I really hope you didn't cheat on me. I didn't cheat on you, so.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Jeremy.
You just hope you left a good last.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She left really good last.
Oh, fuck that sweat.
I know, he's a sweetheart.
Wait, like, what? So,
a keeper. He's a fucking keeper. I can tell.
Did the doctors tell you? I mean, obviously, they told you something because you were probably encouraged to, you know, have these conversations. What was the, like, were they giving you a likelihood or a percentage?
Oh, I was asleep.
So it was just like,
she was in a coma.
You're in the coma, and then they're telling your family, holy fuck.
Yeah, she has no idea. She's like, horses everywhere. And they're like, this holy poor shit. Thing might not make it.
Oh my God. I have a question. Our good friend, and this is a little bit on the heavier side, but our good friend Brandon, who's been on the podcast a bunch of times.
I wanted to bring that up when we got to the aphasia.
He had a stroke probably a month or two before he passed away. And I remember being with him before he died. And they're like, just go in and tell him how you feel. And like, go in and just say whatever's on your mind. And I remember like holding his hand and like fucking soaking his shirt in tears, just like telling him everything that I love about him. And I was like, I don't know if he can hear anything. And I know that they say, you know, some people can't, but do you have any recollection at all of like touch, sensation, words that were said, any after effect of what was said to you while you were in a coma?
So that's actually not funny, but that's something that did kind of happen. So after they had the surgery and the life-saving operation or whatever, they weren't sure if I was going to come out of it. But my boyfriend was there with me. I wasn't there. Like, I was, but, like, not actually.
Right.
But he squeezed my hand and I squeezed back.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was the first one that got that, that there was movement.
Whoa. So, did you shit yourself? Like, what the? That's so crazy.
There was a squeeze of the hand and then a.
No, way to make every beautiful moment Connor, shitty, you guys.
Connor literally just like ran to my dad.
Yeah.
Because my whole family was there. My mom, my dad, my brother.
That's a movie moment. Yeah, like that is a.
Connor like ran to my dad. He was like my dad's John. He's like, John, like she squeezed my hand. You need to go in there. Like you need to see. You need to see if it worked or am I like losing my mind kind of thing.
Wow.
Like everyone's been standing around me for a while holding my hand. Connor squeezed, then my dad was there, like crying. And then I squeezed my dad's hand.
Oh, wow.
And then they both had to get the nurse to double check and make sure they weren't losing their goddamn mind.
Are we crazy? Yeah. Or is she squeezing hands?
Or is it like a. But they weren't sure if it was like just a. I guess, you know.
Now, right. Now
Were you, I know what you mean though, right?
More like a nervous system thing where you're.
Yeah.
But were you, like,
I don't
Sarah
remember
Jane?
It,
okay.
But I was on. A lot of medication.
Well, you were
like any sign of life.
You were technically, you know what I mean? Were you medically induced?
Coma.
Yeah, yeah, right.
To let my brain just
chill out.
Chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of how we got here.
I didn't.
Is this after the surgery? Was that when they were like, go to the freezer, the staff room, get her brain or get her cap back.
No. So I woke up on the 21st. Well, no, I probably woke up 2 weeks before, but didn't remember anything. So I consider my birthday
the real wake up.
Is that because of heavy medication or?
So they didn't know what this procedure. They got the blood clot out, but they weren't sure as if I had any neurological issues. Or maybe, like, I might not wake up.
Right.
Like, but that's, they never thought that I would, like, be in a coma for that long, so.
Okay, so when you wake up, what's different? And, like, what do you first remember about waking up?
I was in a lot of pain. Like, a lot of pain. I was in a coma for 8 weeks, losing all my muscle mass.
Oh, my God.
So it's difficult or sore to even yeah, well, move
I
wasn't. Over?
I couldn't. I didn't have the muscle strength to do so. So they used to have to pick me up in those. It looks like a hammock, but it just.
A horse sling.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen Kill Bill?
I actually watched that last night.
The first few minutes?
I did.
When she wakes up, like she's in like a coma for 2 years or something.
She couldn't move her legs.
And she has to kill that guy really hardcore?
Yeah, she did. She was behind the corner.
So sweet.
She like cuts the guy's Achilles heel.
It goes in slow motion and you're like, yes, this movie!
Yeah, it's really crazy.
I get it.
So, but she was there for 4 years.
Brian, will you feel that, buddy?
Years. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. Like, you're like, I can't move. And I'm like,
so did you kill your nurse with a slice to the Achilles?
Yeah, right.
I did not.
Okay good. Cool.
Yeah. That was actually a horrible, horrible scene.
Yeah, let's move past this. All right, here we go.
Where was I?
I don't know. You woke up from your coma.
Woke up from your coma.
You woke up from
no muscle
coma.
Mass, can't move.
You're in pain.
Oh, yes, my birthday. So I
right.
They sat me up in these chairs, but my muscle in the back of my neck like just didn't work, so I was like this.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah,
like, total.
Like, my head was down over. Wow.
No, you're like a baby again.
Literally. Oh, and I didn't have any hair. But nobody told me that.
You really, truly were a baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Nobody told me
that you didn't have hair.
No, because it was my birthday.
How did you find out?
Well, first of all, I had my phone one day.
Oh,
trying
no.
To send a text message.
And you're like, I got to get on Instagram. I got to put a story up. Hey, everybody, I'm away.
So there's two things. I wanted to text Connor because when I woke up on my birthday, shit. Connor had to go to work because he has a job, right?
Right. So,
right. Yeah. And then Maria, my sister, was there and I wanted to FaceTime Connor. So I was going to use my laptop. I didn't know that I didn't know how to use my laptop again. Like, I was just like, Maria, can you? I'm just too tired. But it wasn't that I was too tired.
You literally
I couldn't
just
read what was going on.
Like,
page.
Your brain just couldn't comprehend.
No.
Yeah.
But in that corner on that FaceTime,
yes.
Oh my God.
You can see that. So my sister was very, very cautious as to what.
You couldn't see.
Exactly.
She was holding it so like you could literally, like, it was, like the line of the screen was
but
across
you know
your
what?
Forehead.
Thinking back, they found out that I actually have a peripheral cut. Like I can't see. So I know you guys are all over here, but I can't see you.
Oh. Oh,
like,
so like, you don't have the same, you don't have
yeah,
the same.
Flip the table, fuck it.
You don't have the same peripheral vision as like
no.
normal peripheral
so, like,
vision.
So like literally to your laptop.
Can you see me?
Oh, yeah, I'm Connor's saying.
Oh, that's
hello. Hi.
Can you see?
Hi,
can you see
everything over here too.
Okay. Right. Whoa, so just the right side.
Oh, that's
yeah.
it.
Can you drive?
Dude, good
people
question.
With one eye can drive.
So I can now. But see, I went to Toronto in August.
I thought you were going
to
say, I can now, but not when I was in the coma.
Well,
which would make sense.
No, I, on top of everything else, we went to Toronto in August, last August, to like celebrate everything was going good and everything. And I had a post-stroke epileptic seizure.
No.
On the way to go see Come From Away.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was.
Wait, on the way to see or on the way home from?
On the way there.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, but.
Is that about
I
Newfoundlanders?
Got to see it. You need to get up on that.
Wow.
You should probably not speak that again.
Wow.
So sorry.
That's like someone going, Shama Jumder.
Is he from here? Where's he from?
Not quite like that.
It's like a Tony Award-winning fucking play that is about Newfoundland.
Do you know what
9/11
is?
Say again? What'd you say?
Do you know what 9/11 is?
I like you.
I was searching for a joke and I couldn't find one.
It's okay.
So
you're on your way. You were just saying you're on your way to see it. And then you had
was not speaking properly again.
Oh my God! Whoever was with you must have just been.
We were in Toronto, in the middle of downtown Toronto. My sister was there. My parents were driving on the way to one of the theaters, and they changed the route on the GPS to closest hospital.
Oh, no.
They went in. I remember kind of being there, but like coming in and out. Like my sister and my mom were crying. They were holding my hands.
Yeah, because
like,
they probably think it's another stroke.
Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this very short break.
Hi, I'm Jesse Cruikshank.
Jesse Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
When it comes to strokes and seizures, I know the difference between them in kind of like the seriousness level of them, I guess. Like people, I know that people can have like multiple seizures and like they basically afterwards they're more or less okay, I guess.
Yes.
And then but strokes seem to have like more long-term effects.
100%.
What is happening or what is the difference between the two?
So my seizure so I've only actually had one really big one. I was having an aura for a while. Mm-hmm. So an aura is like I had this ringing in my ear and I couldn't read. So
Through all
my rehab, I was able to like read, write, communicate. I had to start from the ABCs.
Whoa, really?
So like literally, you showed me an A, I wouldn't know that it was an A.
Wow.
But I could sing the ABCs in French, but I couldn't say the ABCs in English.
Could you sing ABCs in French before you had the stroke?
Yes.
Would it be really cool if you're like,
not
no.
as cool, I'm but it sorry. Comes
like, back. I could recite the whole Bible in Mandarin, but
yeah, it all comes back really like obviously way fast.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Billy Madison. Like when he goes to school.
I actually watched that one too.
Two nights ago.
And he goes to school and he finishes school in like
what,
a month.
What haven't you watched? Before? Like, oh, we'll save that for another podcast.
Sorry. You just saw two of the most classic movies of all time this week.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I couldn't read anything for a while, so I watch movies.
Yeah, there you go.
As an aside, isn't it possible that sometimes people have strokes and then they like all of a sudden can speak another language? Have you guys heard of that?
I've heard of it.
There's
but I've
something
never
like that where I've heard people like come to and they have a new accent.
Like the French, the girl, the woman from Ohio or like Oklahoma or something. She wakes up and then she's got a French accent, like but she's from Paris.
Yep. So. I don't know.
I'm gonna leave
that one alone.
So that's that. I don't remember.
So how does the aphasia start to like?
Wait. No, hold on. I want to finish
the
epileptic seizure thing.
So because
I know that there's many different types of seizures.
I know. I looked into it last night, and honestly, mine is just a post-stroke seizure.
Okay.
So mine is there's extra electricity in my brain.
Cool.
Only happens when I'm tired or stressed.
Okay.
And I get a little aura ringing in my ear. Can't read. Can't do anything. Then I start panicking because I'm like, here we go again.
Because you know, stroke. You know now that something's happening.
I didn't at the beginning.
Right.
So then I have a panic attack.
Holy fuck.
But anyways, I ended up having this full-blown seizure in the MRI machine.
Oh. And like, are we talking seizure as in like the movie seizure?
Yeah. I had all the bruises all over.
Right. Yeah. And they're like, put a sock in her mouth.
Yeah, no.
Was it the dowel?
I just had an MRI a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
Is it? You're not supposed to move in them, by the way.
You're very much not.
So that was probably a hard MRI.
Was it the enclosure? Was it the enclosure or the sound? Because the sound is fucking crazy.
No, I have a little bit of
claustrophobia.
Fear.
Thank you.
Claustrophobia. Yes.
Claustrophobia, but only in hospitals. Like in the idea of being in an enclosed area in a hospital.
Is it because, I mean, and I'm just speculating, and I don't know if you know, if you even know, but is it because you're going, I'm in this enclosed space, and this enclosed space might give, like, might, the result of this enclosed space might be that I'm
100%
fucked.
Like, I'm like, I don't,
for lack of a better word,
know what the, if it's going to be a positive or negative. I just, that.
Yeah.
So Ativan was a very good friend of mine.
So would they then give you, like, so you had the seizure and then, like, from
but
then on?
I wasn't really awake then. They must have given me Ativan, I'm guessing, or the blood clot, the
blood thinner.
Yeah, whatever it is. I'm on a bunch of them, so I don't even know anymore. And yeah, so they figured it out. So they watched the whole thing happen while I was in the MRI machine.
Whoa. That's crazy. Whoa.
Yeah, so
I wonder what your MRI looked like. Right. It was just a bunch of blurs. Like, it was they're like, stop moving.
Yeah,
you gotta be still. She's fucking it up.
when you went in, did they give you the headphones and then they ask you if you wanted to listen to music?
Well, no, because I was out of it.
But when
I have had it pass, like, I'm supposed to have one in a couple of weeks, I think. I didn't know about it. Someone told me lately. Anyways, I hate MRI machines.
They're fucking nuts.
So the something else I want to touch on, because we're slowly making our way to time here.
I know.
But
I feel like we have like 4 hours.
I know. I love that. It's like we started with, we're like, she had a stroke. She's like, well, I had ulcerative colitis, so we'll start there. And it's like everything is just unraveling. But there's something that I think is, you know, that not the elephant in the room, but something very obvious. Mm-hmm. Is you have a very distinct sound to your voice.
I do.
Which is, I'm losing my voice right now.
Yes.
And you sound like you've completely lost your voice and it's just starting to come back. And I know that your voice wasn't like that a couple of years ago.
100%. I was trached. I had a tracheotomy for 8 weeks. So a tracheotomy, I don't know if anyone knows.
In case no one knows.
I can't believe it took this long to bring that back.
Well, there was so much other stuff. Like,
yeah,
there was so much other stuff to get through.
I have a trach scar on my throat. I don't know if you've ever seen them before. Like, people have...
It's very concealed. Like, I can barely...
It's really good.
I wouldn't even, like...
But, yeah.
It's really good.
I can't even see it.
No. I had to... When I came out of my... Like, when I was starting to wake up, I couldn't actually, no words were coming out because it was like that, like nothing, but like nothing. Over time, it started to come out. And that's where they determined that I had aphasia because I asked for a tissue. I thought it was a tissue. I ended up saying like cheesecake.
Right.
I was on a pureed diet. I was on an MPO, nothing by mouth. So right. I've gone through my dysphagia from puree diets all the way up.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All of those. So I ended up messing up that word. And then a speech language pathologist came in and diagnosed me with aphasia. But anyways, I've had 2 surgeries on my throat since.
So when you get a trach, is this
open.
Is this common that it just like will not like
scar
inevitably
tissue.
Fuck your vocal cords?
It's a scar tissue and I had it for a long time. And I also had an NG tube, which is a nasal gastric tube.
Yeah, those. Did you get that put in while you're awake?
No, but man, I pulled it out a couple of times by accident.
Oh, dude, it sucks. Oh. Yeah, I would way rather have something. You know what? I won't go there.
A peg tube, like on your stomach?
No, I got an email today about a guy that lost some tweezers up his urethra.
Oh, no.
That's for another podcast. So
what?
Was it a sexual gratification thing?
I didn't read the article because I was like, but NG tubes, like I've had them put in while I'm awake.
Oh, no.
And here's the worst.
Where does it go?
So it goes up your nose, down your throat into your belly.
Oh, I had somebody who had Crohn's, a friend who had Crohn's who had like a feeding tube.
But here's the thing.
That's exactly same.
That's what it is.
Okay.
But sometimes when they're putting it in, I can't brush my tongue. Like that's how fucking intense my gag reflex is. They're putting it in, and this is what's so gnarly. No, it's no, like no, you get no, here, no, and you're no, like, no. And then it's in your nose, but it goes out your mouth, and you're like,
oh no, these are flossing.
Oh, and no. You're like,
my brother
and
used
like,
to
don't
do that.
Do that. And you're like,
I can't stop.
My brother used to
and
do that all the time.
Yeah, and had a hat out, and I was asking for change.
Sorry, what do you mean your brother used to do that all the time? Do what all the time?
He Why, did it with spaghetti, didn't he? It was like spaghetti.
He has, yeah. He's done
Fuck that guy.
Holy Jesus, that's fucking massive.
Yeah, I didn't say
My
that.
Nose is all messed up because of the...
I'm curious. It sounds like when I'm listening to you talk, I feel sometimes like...
I'm trying to breathe.
Yeah, like it takes like a lot of energy to get something.
It does. It uses a lot of my energy. So my trach. So everyone has vocal cords because you can speak back here. My part of my throat is attached to my vocal cord.
Okay.
So it can't breathe properly. So it causes me to, like, people ask me all the time, "Are you okay?" Like walking straight. Like, if I try to go on an incline, I love the signal hill, but I would not be walking up there. I, like, cardiovascular is rough.
Yeah.
Do you feel like sometimes you're thinking about, like, what you want to say, and you have, like, everything that you want to say thought out in your head, and then you're trying to articulate it, but it just won't come out fast enough that you can't keep up with it?
And it's also my aphasia that's also there, too, that's causing me to not be able to. Like, I asked three questions, I couldn't remember the words. Like, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
So.
You know what it reminds me of the breathing thing is like, it's like if you're pumping up a bike tire and it's just not connected quite right.
You can hear that.
You keep pumping it and it's like, and you can just tell it's not working. And it's like, it just doesn't get that. It doesn't have that like suction that allows you to like bring it all in and then use it.
Yeah.
But I hope the three other avid cyclists in the room really connected with that analogy.
Hey, raise your hand if you've pumped a bike tire in your life before.
Yeah, okay.
Like a single one. Okay. And the aphasia thing is something that I've been, that like the whole conversation since you said, I didn't know.
I just talk of it as it's nothing, but well, I didn't it's know, something huge.
I didn't know what it was until you, or I didn't know the name of it until you said it.
It's
but as soon as you
aphasia.
Said it, as soon as you said it, and this is really curious, and I'm so curious about it because Brian mentioned our friend Brandon. He had a stroke while he was going through cancer treatment in Tennessee, and sadly he came home and the stroke ended his cancer treatment. He wasn't able to continue with it. He came home and about a month or so later he died. But after the stroke, he really couldn't convey what he wanted to say, and it was certainly the side. I'm sure it was frustrating for him. For us, it was just like heartbreaking because you can tell that this guy is there, and from what I understand, and this is kind of leading to the question that I have for you, is that he fully knows what he wants to say, but can't say it. And then when you know that, you're looking at him and going, "This is heartbreaking," because I can tell that you know what you want to say, but you can't tell me the message, and then I can't understand it because you can't give it to me. And he passed away, so I never got to ask him exactly what was going on. Like, when is that what's happening? You know, you have that message.
I always know the
but
first
you can't
letter.
Tell it.
I always know the first letter of the word I'm trying to say, but I can't get it out.
But do you feel like, and to kind of continue that question, Taylor, that you're asking, is there like a part of you that, you know, you clearly know what the person who's talking to you is saying, and you clearly know what you want to say back, and it's not coming out. And is there, do they ever like, they go, "Yeah, yes, yes, sir, we hear you." Like, and they like repeat what you might say,
finish
but finish it off in a way that wasn't what you were trying to say.
Yeah, the cheesecake is coming.
Well, that's right, because Brandon's brother would be the one that would kind of translate what to me was basically nonsense.
That's my sister, Maria. Like, she knows exactly what I'm trying to say. We're literally... Mm-hmm. But my mom has no clue what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's one or the other. Like, that's why I keep looking at my sister, because she knows what I'm talking about.
Right, yeah.
Like, she literally... Like, when I had nothing... Like, when I had to see doctor's appointments, I couldn't explain what I was thinking. But my sister knew what I was trying to say.
Right.
Yeah. So she just...
You're like, bananas are yummy. And then your sister's like, she means to say, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Man.
She's like, bananas is how are you?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what bananas
honestly,
is.
Honestly,
though... I get so frustrated. I would just like...
It's got to be frustrating.
Like, just never mind.
That was the hardest thing about talking to Brandon was like... You know, especially in the last few days, it was like this. You just wanted to pour your heart out to him. Like I remember telling him like all of the things that were so important to me, and I felt like in my heart he knew what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I know, dude, that you understand what I'm trying to say, and I hear what you're trying to say back, but I can't understand you.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna say everything that I want you to know, or any questions that you're asking. Like I'm just gonna try to tell you every possible answer because, you know, I can't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. But in talking to you, I will say that like, it does bring me some level of comfort knowing that or feeling like he did truly understand what I was saying, because I felt like almost to a certain extent, that was what I was telling myself.
Right.
Like Brandon understands me and, but like actually telling to you or talking to you who've been in that place.
Yeah.
I feel like there is some level of comfort there.
Yeah, for sure. Like it's, you can't always speak the way that you want to speak, but more than likely, unless you are not a very nice person, people can understand what's going through for that person. Mm-hmm. I found it hard though when people tried to compare what they had compared to what I was dealing with.
Right.
That was one thing that,
And what,
like, I feel like you guys, for your friend Brandon, you definitely wanted to help him out kind of thing and do whatever you guys could have done. But on the other side, there's like, I'm just so frustrated. You know what I mean? Like that feeling, but.
Sure. I get what you're saying. I think a lot of the things that I was saying to him in that moment too, and not to like stay on this topic too.
Not that he was upset. Like he would know.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
And
like,
I think there was a level of what I was telling him that was, it was almost selfish, right? Like, it's like, here are the things that I want to tell you before I know that you're no longer here to hear them.
Yeah.
But like also.
But you needed to say them.
Right. I needed to say them. But I also now looking back at it and probably not in the moment, but looking back at it, I go, fuck, there's probably a lot of things he wanted to say.
Yeah, that he couldn't get out.
Right?
Yeah.
This has kind of become like a therapy session for like...
No, but it's true.
For how we dealt with Brandon's death.
It's true, though. That's if you can't speak, what other way are we supposed to communicate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is very hard, but at the same time, and like I imagine, like you said with your sister, like there is a level, depending on your connection with people, that they're going, even though like your words don't really... aren't making the sense that you'd like them to. I know what you're saying, and I can see like I can pick up parts of your body language and the way that you're moving and you know the words that you're saying and maybe some patterns in the words that you're saying. Like I made the joke about banana, but like you know maybe there is like a pattern in like when you say this thing, you actually mean that thing.
Well, it's also too like it takes a lot of energy for me to think of those words. So like, and also my breathing takes a lot of my energy too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can hear it. Like I can hear it here.
You'll breathe. When people listen to this podcast, you'll hear my breathing in it.
Yeah,
and 100%.
Part of me was wondering if, and I don't know if you covered this when I went to the bathroom, but like wondering if that's just the sound of the trauma within your throat.
Yeah,
of the air passing through,
or
if there is an actual like effort and struggle to get the air in. And out.
Well, you have to try to figure out a way to breathe properly, right?
Right.
So, like, I do synchronized skating. So I don't, you know what synchronized swimming is?
Yeah.
But I do synchronized figure skating.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's really difficult for me because it's cardiovascular.
So synchronized swimming with skates on under the water? That sounds very dangerous.
Yeah.
And okay, sharp. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, continue.
It was funny at first.
Well, yeah, we'll beat around with it.
But it was just hard. It's hard fix it to in get post. Back. That's like my new normal. Like I can't breathe properly.
Yeah.
Right.
Doing those things, and those are the things I love to do.
Right, because that obviously requires like a certain amount of like
cardiovascular
controlled
activity
and like rhythmic breath.
That,
right.
Yeah. That kind of leads me to the question of, so obviously your life changed drastically from when you had your stroke to, or before you had your stroke to when you had your stroke. And I'm curious how that affected your vision for the future and your goals and like what you saw as your career path or where you wanted to be in 10 years. Did that change what you saw as for your potential or for your future, I guess?
Yes. But I am a keener and I always have been, always will be, like overachiever, like Sarah Jane, like don't tell, like you're stop, really, you know?
Stop.
So like, the day that I like really realized what was happening, I was like, I need to get back to school right now. Like that was my joke. I didn't have any hair. I couldn't breathe. I need to get back to school.
But I need to go back to school.
I was like, my grades are slipping. So much.
But, I don't know my ABCs.
But I need to go
back
to school.
But I know that I want an A.
And I have like three job interviews up. I was like, Mom, you need to call them and tell them that I'm not going to be there. Like, those are the things I was thinking about. But like,
right. Yeah.
Getting it, like thinking it through now, like it was so much trauma. But it wasn't just trauma for me. Like, it was trauma for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Like, it's not the only two in my life.
No, I mean, your whole family.
I've got a good support system.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The other ones are just in South Carolina right now. So, that's fine.
Well, you think about that. Like, that is absolutely, it's nuts in the way that, like, when you have a good support system, and you go through something and I'm like relating on the, like when I got injured, I got hit by a car and all this stuff. And like if I didn't have somebody there to fucking, honestly, the first few days, if I didn't have somebody to wipe my ass, like I couldn't do it. If I didn't have somebody to help me shower.
You're welcome, buddy. I got you. You know, I got you.
It was actually Kyla, but I'm sure you would have done it.
I would have done it if I was there.
And then
you don't want a folder to wipe your ass.
No,
for
I know.
I'm a bunch, not a folder.
Yeah,
whatever.
And so like if you having someone or a group of people, whatever, friends to be there to do that for you, and the burden that it goes
on
to those people.
They wanted to do it.
Of course they do. Of course they do. But like when I like, I mean, in my experience, it was like, yo, all of a sudden, all the things that I do every day are now someone else's responsibility.
Yeah.
And not that they don't want to do it. They're like, they're very gung ho to do it because they're very understanding of, yo, you're going through this thing. And like, I can't imagine what it's like to have a broken pelvis and ribs and all this shit. So I'll do it. No problem. They take that on. But over time that wears and it adds stress because like nothing from their life has stopped or slowed down. So they take on all this stuff.
And especially now that you're fully recovered and you keep asking us to do the shit for you.
And then
we're like, dude, you are fine.
Yeah. And I'll be like,
Jeremy, come wipe my ass.
Yeah, exactly. And that just happened. I had the pre-show jitters and I went to the bathroom and I was like, Jeremy, please come to this room. So, I mean,
such boys, man.
it's a number six. It's really soft.
Okay.
I need extra toilet paper.
All right.
I mean, just not to leave it understated, like how amazing it is. And I'm sure you feel the same way about like having people around you. Like it is fucking insanely amazing.
It was really hard for me though, because I'm a very independent person. I went to school by myself, like didn't know anybody. You know, like, I couldn't drive. I couldn't go places myself. I wasn't out of school for a year. Now, I did full-on rehab in three different places and did four different programs, to get back to where I am today. But, like the independence part was the hard for me. Like, I used to walk my dog three times a day because what else was I supposed to do? Like,
yeah.
I got a new dog, though.
Considering where you are today,
yes.
How is your mental health now, based off of everything that you've gone through, and based off everything that your family members and friends have gone through?
Well, you know, like as I said, school is a big thing in my family. I'm home now in St. John's, which is one thing. So like it really impacts that positively. Like, have people around. Like, I was there by myself.
Right.
When I went back to school, I graduated in May. So
congratulations.
Willow's like, yeah, you did.
Willow's a dog.
Yeah.
And then I got a dietetic intern here within St. John's.
Congrats.
Amazing.
I got that. So things started to get better. But like, there is times where like, there's things that I can't do still. Like, I, going to the gym, like, sure I could, but like, it's hard. Like, it's something that really, it hurts me because I can't really do it as I would want to, you know what I mean? And like, for the longest time, I couldn't drink. Wasn't a big drinker, but I was 21 and not able to drink, so.
Right, but now you're drinking an Nalgene full of vodka, so.
You put
a big old dent in that vodka.
To be honest with you, cider in Nova Scotia is my favorite.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Is that cider?
No.
No,
not yet.
No, it's vodka.
There's
dude.
A new No Boats out though, just saying. Yeah. Anyway.
You know what I would honestly, you know, I just want to interject there on the topic of like getting back, because again, in relating to your experience topic, like when you can't do what you used to be able to do. I know it's the worst. Cause like all you want to do is just do exactly how you did it before.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest learning curves for me, it has been specifically with yoga. Cause yoga is being practicing before and practicing now is there's a major change.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time I avoided doing it because I couldn't do it the way that I used to. And I'm kind of getting back into it now starting that process of going, okay, now I'm going to start to accept like the limitations and like the adaptations that I need to do. And it was so easy for me at the beginning to go, I'm just not going to do it because I can't do it. I can't do it. And I know that frustration and how much that sucks. Because like, especially if you're a keener and you're a go-getter and you're like, I just want to get back to that.
Yeah. And like, even like the everyday stuff. So like I was working at the hospitals, 12-hour shifts. And then I'd be exhausted, but like I'd get up the next day and still go again. You know what I mean? Like I was just that independence of going back to work was a huge thing for me. Like I was bored. Like I was.
Was it hard for you stress wise? Like to go back to work, to like go back to like a normal life schedule?
It was really hard when I first came home. Like I was scared that people were gonna, cause like once you have it's called an acquired brain injury. Not a traumatic brain injury. So like when you're in your car accident, if you got knocked around your head, that would be a traumatic brain injury. Mine was acquired because it just came out of nowhere.
Right. As opposed to an act, like
a traumatic one. Right, yeah. Sure. So like, I have aphasia, but aphasia doesn't actually like, it doesn't negatively impact your cognitive ability. It's just the words didn't come
right.
out.
Yeah, right.
So like I felt that I had a limited amount of hair at this point. I felt that people definitely thought I had cancer. I don't, if that sounds bad, but it's true. Like it's what people assume.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like I had to hold someone's hand to like walk and like stuff like that. So that independence was gone. And I wasn't really full on back in my, I hadn't done all of my rehab. So when I talk about my rehab, it was physically, like I had to go to psychologists, like all of them here at the Miller Center.
Yeah.
So like, which is the rehab here. And like, it was a lot. Like it took a lot on me. And like,
cause when is the last time? And I don't mean take off as in like vacation, because it's obviously not vacation, but like you think about the time, you know, you go through, you're in a coma, you're in rehab, you have an epileptic seizure and all this stuff. And like you have all this again, quotations, time off. Mm-hmm. By time off, I mean like when you're not doing your regular life things.
Yeah.
And then you are like, okay, well now I'm going to go back to that. And that's a huge shift. Because like how, like even as a teen, even if you're not in school, like you're either working or you're in school, like the last time that you did nothing for a while was when you were a small child.
Yeah.
And like where you didn't even cognitively know that you were doing nothing.
Yeah.
And then taking that time off and then going and then being thrust back into a daily routine of tasks, responsibilities, relationships. Like
it was a lot. I did lose some friends through it.
Yeah.
Like people didn't understand.
Yeah. That's one thing that's come up a lot on the show.
I have friends who just don't get it.
I think that's a common
occurrence.
They're
too selfish to. Yeah.
I kind of
what a great
though,
filter.
Right. But I kind of wondered, did you lose friends?
Did
you just lose people?
But I found better friends.
Right. Yeah. Like because to me, a friend is a person who is going to be there with you through thick or thin.
Yeah.
And like, and you know, if somebody's not going to be with you by your side through dealing with that challenge, like, are they really a friend anyway?
That's why I just kind of, it's more of a acquaintance
now. It's like the second round of when you graduate high school where you go, oh yeah, I haven't seen Mitchell in like, fuck, since high school. Well, I guess we're not friends anymore. And then it's like, oh yeah, I haven't seen Ashley
please
since.
Please don't invite me to your wedding.
Since I was staying at the horse hospital. I guess
true.
We're not friends, you know.
I
get it.
So how are you doing now? Like today?
Well, I'm good.
Hold on.
You look good.
I want to throw back to a conversation that we were having a couple days ago, a day or two ago, where you said, where you were like, I talked to Sarah Jane on the phone.
I was just about to say this.
And you went, you know, she sounds
so
super
chill. I was like, just got off the phone with her? She's chill as fuck. I was like, hey, we're going to do like a live show. There's going to be a bunch of people there. It's going to be a house party kind of thing. And you were like, cool. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Like, no issues at all.
So we're good? You're like, yeah, whatever. I was like,
are you just
right.
Are you just naturally this chill, or is this like
I never used to be? But like,
so this is like stroke chill.
There's so many worse things in the world, like the little things. That's like,
yeah,
like you lose a friend because they're shitty. Oh well,
they were shitty.
And I find someone else.
But I think I think this is a perfect segue to a question that we ask most of our guests, which is, what would you say your stroke and coma and everything you've been through, what would you say is the biggest thing that it's taken away from you?
Taken away. Well, it's pretty annoying that my throat is all messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also really annoying when I can't get a word out. But, like, honestly, I'm pretty thankful. So if that's the worst thing, like, obviously I'm scared of the possibility, very, very small possibility of another stroke happening. But, I mean, like, I'm always compromised, just like you would, Jeremy. Like,
yeah,
you're autumn. Auto, I can never say the word, but you're compromised.
My immune system.
Your immune system sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you don't have to rub it in, but okay, sure.
Yeah. It's true though. Like anybody who has chronic diseases, it's going to suck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, you just kind of got to live with what you got. It's my new normal is what we use. So.
Absolutely.
Well, the second part of that question is, what would you say is the biggest thing that it's given you?
Honestly, I've learned a lot more about how it impacts others, how diseases impact others. But also, like, even being in the hospital as a... I saw both sides of a patient and working in the hospital. Like, the little things in life, like, those are the things you gotta use. Like, that seems a little lame, but it's true. Like, me and my family and my friends went through horror. Like,
hell and back. Yeah.
Literal. Like, it was so bad. But thinking back, like, who cares about the little things anymore? Like,
right.
Like, yes, I'm always going to probably you know, like everyone has a bad day and a good day. Mm-hmm. I do still have bad days where I'm like, man, I hate, like, this sucks. Like, how am I going to, like, I'm never going to be able to, like, do that or not do this or whatever. But, like, I've just learned just appreciate.
Yeah, you got it.
I got it. I appreciate things a lot more than
fuck
others,
yeah.
I think.
You know,
yeah.
My dad...
Not others, but...
Yeah. Ah, fuck through. Everyone else. I'm with you. Yeah.
My dad always had a book that always was out like on whatever, like any like table
on the
service.
On the ledge of the toilet.
Yeah. Might have been. And I think if I had to guess, I think it was like a finance book, but it was called
Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
And it's all small stuff.
And my dad had that book too.
So the book was,
and every time I took a shit, I would go, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
It was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
It had like a parentheses golf cart
and it's all
it
small
something.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And I was always like, and I'm a very like it just kind of runs off my shoulders kind of guy. And like my dad's like that too, so maybe it's genetic, but I always kind of looked That's at that so title funny. And went,
yeah,
dude, it's all fucking small stuff. Don't worry about it.
I can't help but think about two things after this conversation.
I have to pee
one,
somebody.
I know that we've,
I'm so sorry.
I know that we've talked a lot about your sister and your boyfriend who are here. So, guys, you have played a super pivotal role in obviously in Sarah's, journey through dealing with all this. So, obviously a huge shout out and thank you to you guys for the role that you played.
Yeah.
Which makes me think about like a lot of people who play that caretaker role and the importance of like supporting those people through dealing with the challenges that people go through, and it's something that we don't oftentimes pay attention to. Like those people need support too, which is incredibly important. So it's something that your story has reminded me of. The second side of that is that I have a friend of mine who suffers from mental illness, and he reaches out to me a lot. And I know that he struggled with reaching out to me at times because he feels like he's being a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I feel in that situation is that he's never a burden at all. And mm-hmm. in fact, it never is weighing on me that he reaches out to me. It's actually... It makes me feel good because I feel like I can support someone
right. And
be there for them. So it's kind of this contrasting view of how the caretaker role works. Like obviously there needs to be support systems available for them, but at the same time, I don't think it's ever fair for somebody to feel like they're being a burden on somebody when they reach out for that help, because in fact, it's actually empowering and it's actually really rewarding to be there for a friend in that capacity.
And
I think it's just two things that I was thinking about that I think are really important to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, just to kind of just to vamp while Taylor pees before we wrap it up, but also just, yeah, all right, to kind of tag on to that, for the people where it is too much of a burden,
there's other resources.
You know, maybe that, again, that is like, it can be this great filter. Not to say that those people who can't handle it aren't worth being
it's not for everyone
in your life, but it also is not for everyone. And when shit hits the fan, I know personally, like, you know, my lungs, they're not going to keep working for long. And when they do start to shut down, I know that these two are going to be there and have my back and be there to support and be there to like be fucking goofballs and put on the clown suits and come in and try to make me laugh.
But you know what though? It's simultaneously the hardest thing, but both the most rewarding thing too, and being there and
or like Brandon, you know, it's like that didn't push us away from him. It brought us closer. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are people where it did push them away. And that's just the nature of relationships and the nature of people and society and the way we deal with illness. I mean, I think that's a big part of where we come in. And when I say we, I include you in that. To normalize and change the way that we converse about these types of things so that when shit does hit the fan, we don't automatically want to hit the eject button and get the fuck out of here because we're uncomfortable.
And do you think that it's also like, it's like exercising a muscle. Like the more
you talk about it, the more you normalize it, the more it becomes a thing.
Like if you don't have those hardships or you don't have those challenging situations that you have to run up, like come up against, face, get through, resolve, or at least try to resolve, then like, I can only think of, out of all of the stuff, like when I think about Brandon, when I think about anybody that's like passed away in my life, when I think about injuries that I've had, like whatever challenging situations, like especially just the past like 5 months with dealing with the injury that I was going through, like it's all, I can only look back and go, I can only take positivity away from it.
Right.
Like I can only look back because it was all negative in the moment. In the moment, it was all shit. It was like, this fucking sucks. Now, looking back on it, being like out of that acute period, I'm like, it was all a lesson learned. Like it was all something that I took something from and went, oh, this is how I can apply this going forward.
That's right.
And sometimes it's easier said than done, but it's incredibly important to be able to have that perspective. Yeah.
But looking back on it now, like it's like I've learned so much from it.
Yeah. Totally.
So it's,
and you're like, I'd take a stroke every Monday if this is what I meant, right?
Right. No. And it's worth it. And I want to emphasize how crazy it is for you to say that it's worth it. Because like, I know exactly what you mean in the fact that like this crazy fucking thing that you would never think that anyone, you wouldn't, like we said it right at the very beginning.
I would never wish it on anybody.
You would never wish it. Although it's like you take so much from it. You learn so much. You become such a different person and it filters people out of your life.
You know like, how to talk to people too. Like I would never be able to just have this conversation unless it was like,
But you would, because you just did in front of a room full of people.
I know.
Right?
I think it's things that need to be talked about.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And you just did that.
We just did it. Which brings me to the second point, which I think is equally, if not more important. We've been doing this for the last 4 years and have been having conversations like this one that we just had with you, Sarah Jane. And I speak for the three of us when I say that we think that these conversations are vitally important for the entire world. This is like that we are pouring our hearts into this because there's a reason for it. We think it's fucking important. And it would not be possible to have these conversations the way we're having it if it wasn't for the people who are on the other end of the speaker or the iPhone or the laptop or whatever, who are actually listening. And that's where you come in. You know, every year we hear about, you know, tying it back to mental health, we hear about Bell Let's Talk, and we're trying to change the conversation. Talking, the conversation, all that shit would be completely pointless if there wasn't somebody who's there to actually hear what is being talked about or hear the conversation that's trying to be changed. And so what you do in terms of what we do is far more important than what's happening here. And so I want to say thank you all so much for taking an hour and a half of your night tonight to listen to Sarah Jane's story and to hear what she's been through, because this is honestly changing lives. It is literally changing lives. So give yourselves a round of applause for that. And with that, we've come to the end of the episode. I want to capture this because this is a really special moment. So here we go. As we always do, that is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Sarah Jane.
And this is Sick Boy. Yeah, thanks everybody. That was so fun.
I love this. This is so fucking awesome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.